Hello everyone and welcome to today's episode of Torkum Talk. Really excited to have on Katie Brooks, the president of the Bend Chamber of Commerce. This one hits home quite a bit if you're living in Bend or Central Oregon as we get into things that are affecting business owners without them even knowing about it. Katie gets into in-depth on childcare, healthcare, and what this means for employers whether you like it or not, how much it's affecting your teams or any team that you're looking to grow. We also get into depth on what is Bend going to be looking like as it continues to grow in 2030. So a really in-depth look at what the Bend Chamber is doing outside of what you think they would be doing. Like, oh, just a place to meet and greet. No, there's a lot more going on. There's a lot more that you need to learn about when it comes to helping a community out and how to get involved. So hopefully this motivates you to get involved and enjoy this wide-ranging conversation between Katie Brooks and I. Katie. Awesome to have you on the show. One thing I want to start by saying is like the Bend Chamber, there's, or any Chamber of Commerce, there's this stereotype of, oh, I'm going to be going and I just mingling and doing stuff. I'm not sure like how good this is going to be, what's a benefit. And it's like this old chamber mentality, but you and I have been talking and you're really adamant about this new chamber that Bend is becoming and getting apart from the old chamber. So what's the old chamber, new chamber, like not your grandpa's chamber?
Right.
What is that all about?
Well, I think that in Bend particularly, but in for chambers as a whole across the country, there's this realization that we all mix and mingle and connections and relationships are always going to matter. Who you know and how you take care of your people matters. And you do that in a lot of pretty traditional ways. But that's kind of where the old chamber stops and the new chamber starts. It's more about what are the things that we can do to represent business and also their employees on a collective basis. What is the power of the collective? Mm-hmm. And how do we set the table to resolve issues, create opportunities, and basically tackle some of these things that are hindering business growth on an individual level and a collective level by really leveraging the strength of the people around you and bringing in experts and taking problems on even when they're hard. And most of the things that we work on at the Bend Chamber are really tough for any one individual or any one organization or any one company to tackle on their own. And that is the power of having an association of businesses and the people who work for them.
So to take that to a personal level, one thing that when it comes to struggling and growing with employees and everything like that, that's definitely something that I feel a lot here at Mazama. We have around 20 or so team members here, and the other thing that I overheard in excitement was my HR manager Keely telling me that I think we're going to be able to qualify for the Bend Chamber's healthcare plan. And I was like, that's great, because I don't have my hands in everything at all times. I just know that when we did give out healthcare, we're not required to. You need to, as a business, and I don't know if it's Oregon or federally, but it's 50 employees, that's when you're required to. And so we started it much earlier than that because it was just the right thing to do. But she was telling me that also, she's like, yeah, we might be able to qualify for that. And that means we'll be saving like 40%. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we're going to do it. I'm like, okay. And it's the same good coverage. She's like, yeah. I was like, that's amazing. Cause it's a huge expense
for
me to continue growth and to continue taking care of people, but it's necessary, I think. So I'm super excited about that. And I'm glad how do you make that happen? I don't have my hands involved or anything. I know that Keely's getting involved. So how is she saving? Maybe 40% was too big of a number. I don't know, but how is that happening?
So this is one of the important things that we can do as a chamber. And first of all, congrats for providing healthcare for your folks, because I owned a business with my husband before we moved over here, and we made the same decision. It's like, you make the decision to take care of your people, and it means you take home less, but it's the right thing to do, and yay, bud. So What we did about 7 or 8 years ago was start an industry, a cluster of industry sectors. We worked with Congressman Greg Walden. We went to Washington, D.C. We said, look, there's a big gap in Central Oregon for healthcare coverage.
Did you go to D.C.?
I didn't, but my predecessors did.
Okay.
I've been to D.C., but on transportation stuff mostly.
Okay.
But he helped get through the structure by which we operate now. We have 9 different industry sectors that we represent,
mm-hmm.
and we're able to aggregate it under one Benn Chamber of Commerce Group health insurance plan. And we've partnered with Pacific Source. And why this has proved to be durable, and we now cover well north of 12,000 individuals under our healthcare
wow.
coverage. It's huge,
yeah.
and oh so important.
Mm-hmm.
And what's even better than that is all you need is 2 people. You can't be related, and you have to be a full-time equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have 2 or more folks in your organization, you qualify, which blew out a lot of the other plans that were available.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to do this by bringing these industry groups together and then representing them collectively. And managing it as a portfolio rather than as just one size fits all.
Right.
And what has happened over the years is it's proved to be a really durable, effective way of doing it. And now, like I said, over 12,000 people are under the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And we offer it statewide. And it's been
statewide. Okay, cool. So it's not just
yep.
Bend businesses.
The reason why we did that uh-huh. is because our sister and brother chambers across the state, we talk with them quite a bit.
Are you referring to Portland and Eugene? Or?
Mostly out of the Portland market.
Okay.
But we cover Salem, we cover Eugene, we cover a lot of different places across the state. Portland has a much more robust palette of plans that you can choose from than out here. We don't have a lot of choices.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we started it. And a lot of other folks came on board across the state. Now, there are lots of other plans out there, and things are changing at the federal level
mm-hmm.
as far as who can form an insurance pool. What we've been watching, though, is how fast it changes with some of the dynamics that are happening in Washington, D.C. right now. And
mm-hmm.
and through those changes, we've just stayed with the format that we put together, and it's proving to hold up a lot better over the long term. So it's worked out great. It's great for our members.
Mm-hmm.
Our number one priority is to provide the best coverage for folks in Central Oregon. That's who we represent most. And fortunately, some folks across the state have also participated because there wasn't any other choice or a competitive choice. Yeah.
It's incredibly affordable, and that's fantastic.
Yep.
And it's something that, unfortunately, our country doesn't have like a universal type of healthcare option. And this is something that I ended up having a lot more emotion towards as of 2 weeks ago. So I took a stick and it stabbed me
owie.
In the hand, and I got like 3 stitches, and it was pretty nuts, and there was blood everywhere. I was out mountain biking. And so after riding, like I stopped the bleeding, and I rode 12 miles down, 14 miles into town, and the first place I went to was a pharmacy. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure, I'm pretty sure I needed stitches, but I wasn't 100%. I haven't gotten a lot of stitches in my life. And so I'm talking to the pharmacist, and I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna need some rubbing alcohol, maybe some super glue. And he's like, yeah, you will need super glue for a minor cut like that. And you will need like, he didn't see it yet. And he's like, you will need some rubbing alcohol. And yeah, and then this and that. I'm like, okay. He's like, do you mind if I look at it really quick? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure I could stop the bleeding. And so I just go and I show him, and the pharmacist looks at it. He goes, okay, well, I would recommend if you can afford it and if you have insurance to go and get that professionally taken care of at ER or a clinic and get some stitches in there, because that's pretty deep. But if not, the alcohol and the super glue, you know, that'll work fine. And I go, I do have good insurance and I can't afford it. So I'm going to I'm going to go do that. He's like, all right. So I go and I get stitched up and they give me, which also, by the way, that was a time when I realized that were just rare steaks because they were going in and I was able to see my hand cross section pretty deep. And I was like, that's a rare steak. So that freaked me out. And that had another realization I had is that we're just bags of meat
put
floating around.
Put some hot sauce on that.
Yeah,
thing.
Put some hot sauce. Oh, God. Oh. Yeah, so we're very vulnerable, it turns out. But so yeah. I go to the pharmacist because I get they give me some antibiotics because I got a puncture wound. I got stabbed. And if there's something in there, it could get infected. Yeah. So I get antibiotics and I'm in that same pharmacy. I was in Sun Valley and the same pharmacist was there. And I was just like, hey, yeah. He's like, oh, good. You got it taken care of. I'm like, yeah, I've got some stitches in there. And I was like, I got to tell you, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around our conversation about, like, basically you saying that, like, if I can't afford it, then yes, the super glue and everything should work. And, but if you have insurance and you should go take care of it. And I did, but I'm thinking about the people who didn't. He's like, well, that's unfortunately a conversation we have every day. And most people can't go to the clinic to take care of it.
Yep.
And, ever since then, like 2 weeks ago, I'm like, well, that's very screwed up. I truly think that healthcare should just be a human right and it shouldn't be something that's made profit off of. And so it's like our duty as business owners until the government does take care of this, which might not be ever, to take care of at least your people, your little nation, if you will. And we have a member here that's part-time who's going to be full-time in the next week, and that's going to help him a lot with his insurance and a lot of stuff like that. It's going to be a huge cost. He's going to be able to get insurance. And our process that we have down, I just kind of like was overlooking email, like, okay, now so-and-so, that person, he will enroll and be able to qualify in December. And I saw that email this morning, so I'm going to get around to it, basically going to Keely and saying, we need to fuck that process. Mm-hmm. What's as soon as we can get him on? I don't care if we have to pay more. I don't want anybody to have to go to be freaking holding their hand shut in a pharmacy being like, I guess I'll take the super glue because the my insurance doesn't kick in till December. I don't want that to be his decision or anybody's. So the fact that you guys are doing this to make it even more affordable for me, and then for other businesses that are watching this that are anywhere in Oregon, turns out, no, look up the Chamber Healthcare. How do they find more about this if they don't have an HR person?
Yeah, you just go to the Ben Chamber website, benchamber.org, and there's information right there on the website.
Okay.
You know, and you bring up a really good point. And there are a lot of human beings that are out there that don't have insurance still. And it's one of the things that should be keeping us up all at night.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can find a more affordable solution to make that actually happen, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and you guys are doing so thank you big time. And that's something that, you know, as a business owner, you might be also thinking like, well, I'm saving money at this. I would think of it more outside of just the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do, obviously, to give healthcare to your team. I know the pain of pulling that trigger and watching that money go out. I understand it, but I also know what ended up happening here when it comes to retention, when it comes to overall happiness that people are taking care of. That went through the roof, and I would pay more than what we're paying. I'm happy to be paying less, thanks to you, but I would pay more to have the reaction that I now see because of it. So if you are contemplating it, please go to the Ben Chambers site and take care of your people, because you're going to get a morale boost that you don't expect. That going into another thing with you, how you guys can help, and something that has been affecting me, and I would love to talk to you more about as we've talked in the past, and that is of childcare.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare going to childcare.
Yep.
What's going on in Bend? Break it down for businesses in Bend if they don't know.
Okay. So these two topics that we're talking about is like quintessential reasons why chambers have to change.
Mm-hmm.
This is the stuff that we take on now. And healthcare is one, childcare is the next. We've been talking about it for a couple of years, and it's one of those highly complicated, highly expensive things that you've got to tease through and have the right people around the table. So we formed a task force. We've taken a look at this thing front, center, sideways for quite a while now. And what we found was only one out of three infants and toddlers between 0 and 3 have a place to get childcare in Central Oregon.
Okay.
And what I found
out,
one out of three kids are actually placed. So two out of three kids mm-hmm. are out there in the they're at home, they're with friends, they're with family, or in non-registered places. Mm-hmm. And so let's be clear. There are a lot of folks that want to stay home with their babies.
Sure.
Totally get that.
That's totally
fine.
It's the
people who need to be at work or want to be at work.
People who can't afford it or are career driven.
Yep. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And more times than not, that's women. And what we decided to do was we put together a task force to talk about the quality aspect of it. And there's a lot of research out there on 0 to 3 year old brains and how that sets people up for the rest of their life and certainly for their school experience. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of folks who track kids from the time they're born until they graduate high school and beyond. And that's going to be a trend moving forward. So the science is there that if you're going to put your kid in childcare, it should be pretty good quality childcare. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the aspects that we've been talking about. Another aspect is we just don't have enough, and found out that this is a national issue as well. We were invited
Isn't
back.
Isn't it more so in Oregon?
It's on par
it's
with
on par.
Most of the country.
So what's going on in the country? Why is it so hard to?
Here's why. There are three things that go into running a child care center. Number one is you have to pay for the land. If you're not paying for the land and the building and the construction of where the center is.
So you can't lease it?
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Okay.
So the costs are you'll either have to build your own facility, you'll either have to lease. Lease costs in commercial areas have gone up in recent years,
yeah,
depending on the market. And the third thing is labor. So, and embedded in all of those costs are the regulatory costs and the permitting and the tenant improvements and the things that you need to do to accommodate little people.
Mm-hmm.
So labor, land, lease, essentially, and regulations. So the bottom line is it's really expensive. So if it's really expensive, you have to charge your clients a lot more. And if you charge your clients a lot more, oftentimes what happens is they have to make a decision of either I'm working so I can pay for my childcare, or I'm just not going to work and I'm going to figure something out. And that cascading effect goes to the employer, because a lot of times they're opting out, either because the parents can't find childcare,
mm-hmm,
or they just can't afford it. And it's just an economics decision as well as a family decision. So every state has different regulations. The state of Oregon has a lot of regulations and expectations. Yes. So it's just really hard to run a child care center. So what we have decided to do.
What are the expectations that Oregon has set? Like one of the things I've heard is like you hit on it, labor, but mm-hmm, I hear that bar is like incredibly high.
It is incredibly high. So there's a couple
Why
of things.
Why is it so high to be watching a three-year-old?
Because the education requirements of the people who work in childcare are extremely high in Oregon.
I've heard it's PhD. Is that right?
No, it's okay. Master's.
Okay, that still seems pretty high.
To earn $15 an hour.
Yeah. That's incredibly high and insulting for, I mean,
yeah.
Let's just be honest for a second. It's 0 to 3. You need to know how to do CPR and how to feed kids and keep their hands out of light sockets. Like, that's what's going on. Maybe some coloring or something like that. If a kid's really advanced, then you want to send them to, like, you know, Harvard preschool or whatever. Okay. But at least 0 to 2. I mean, 0 to 1 to 2. I mean, they're
barely
walking.
Well, what we're talking
walking.
About, though, are the people who program what the kids do. And there's a lot of science behind what is actually going on in a kid's brain. And I'm not an expert on that.
No, neither am I. But to a master's degree to then $15 an hour, why would you do that? Why would you go into student debt that much? Our system is not made for it.
Well, let me push back on that, though.
Good.
So you've got your most precious thing in your life being taken care of by somebody else.
My football team?
Yeah. You need to get out more, dude. Your kid.
I don't have a kid
and,
yet.
And, well, I meant the capital Y, you. The royal you.
My
so
dog.
People have their children in places. And I'm a mother of twins. And let me tell you, I spent a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of anxiety thinking about where do I put my kids because I had to work.
Mm-hmm.
And paying somebody $15 an hour to watch the thing that's most important to me in my life seems pretty pretty reasonable. In fact,
but
not,
it's not
probably
15,
not good enough.
But it's not $15 an hour because you have to pay the overhead.
Right. But I'm just talking about labor. Labor costs. You're right. There's more mm-hmm. than that. So anyway, getting back to what it is that we can actually do about it, really what we need is we need sticks in the ground. There are some people out there who are real experts in what goes into quality childcare, and we want them to do that job. And what we want to do is just create more openings and see how affordable we can do it. So the concept is based on blended funding, private, public, donor, that sort of thing. And we're looking for funding to, we're actually recruiting right now for a position we're calling the childhood or a child care accelerator. Mm-hmm. This person's job is to go out and work with employer pools, people who have folks on board that have babies coming or already here, mm-hmm. and they're losing their personnel. And in Central Oregon, it's really a tight labor market. Mm-hmm. So working with those folks, seeing if they can offset some of the operational costs or some of the startup costs to make it a little more reasonable. And we're working with OSU Cascades and COCC to talk about aggregating their efforts to program. What is the 0-3 experience? What is the 3-5 experience? How does that blend into grade school? Really doing a lab or a research component to make sure the quality is there. And then working with investors and the schools to look around the region and find sites and actually construct centers around the region, mm-hmm. with the fact that there's something that has to come down in price, operations, labor, the cost of the land, whatever it happens to be, to make this reasonable and sustainable and replicable so we can build it all over. Is it going to solve the problem? No, not entirely. Or you can sit on your hands and not do anything.
Okay.
So
you're looking...
that's what we're doing.
So you're looking for businesses to help offset the cost.
Donors and grants, mm-hmm. and academia and folks who have land, that sort of thing.
Well, okay, so I'm a business owner and now I'm saying I don't have to pay for that. It doesn't... Why should I have to pay for mm-hmm. childcare? That doesn't make any sense. I don't have any kids.
Yeah. Yeah. You might choose that.
No,
and your employees might have a different opinion.
Right.
It's all about retention, mm-hmm. and it's about making sure that you keep the best people on. And so you look across the state, Multnomah County, Washington County, Clackamas, Deschutes, and there's one or two other counties. I just saw this data today from the state. Have less than a 4%-ish unemployment rate. The rest of the state's a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. But there's not a lot out there to pick from. And if you have a quality employee, you may choose to say, look, I'm going to pay you $5,000 a year, XYZ child care center, because I really need to keep this person. And if this offset the costs and it guarantees me a slot, that's totally worth it to me because that's a fraction of what it would cost to replace this person if I can even find somebody to replace them.
Okay. So what about for businesses that don't have somebody that's like pregnant currently? How would they end up seeing the value in that?
Well, they may not. This is totally voluntary. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of it.
Right.
Because there's been a lot of regulation over the last year, mm-hmm. from the 2019 legislature on paid family leave and a lot of other things. At this point, this is like healthcare. This is what is it that I can do to retain.
I would argue that it would help them. Like you might not have somebody who's pregnant right now, but all of a sudden if you have people who are male or female, maternity and paternity, who are thinking about having kids, but you don't have anything that can help them, but X business does, that changes things a little bit. Or if you have a really talented person you're trying to recruit and her husband are thinking about having a kid, they're trying for a kid currently, so that's in their head. And like if you are now able to say, hey, we're also helping with childcare, and parents know, like it's out there. People know that it is a 2-year wait list to get in on some of these places if you're lucky. I was lucky by my first employee getting pregnant, Devin, who's awesome. We gave her maternity leave, paid, and she's now coming back. And I said to her, I was like, if you need more time off, that's fine. You just let me know however much you need. And she's like, no, I want to come back. I was like, I have a feeling that it's going to change a little bit. when a human comes out of you, but let me know. I have no idea. And then turned out that she's like sticking to the original plan, and I saw her and she brought her kid in, beautiful child, and she's doing great. But she's just, her mind was that I'm a career woman and I'm excited to come back, and this is baby Jerry and he'll be an account manager and he'll be starting next week too. But she's an amazing team member. She's gonna be coming into a management role. We actually promote her as she was leaving, and she got lucky enough to get into healthcare. I mean, not healthcare, childcare.
Yeah.
And she told me about these lists and how crazy it is. And so I was being a devil's advocate earlier, being like, well, I don't think I completely think that this is our problem as business owners and is in our best interest, just like healthcare is, to take care of this and also start looking at maternity and paternity leave as well if you're a business owner, and look at what the American standard is. It's absolutely insane. Just doing 8 weeks, not paid. That's another conversation.
I did that with twins.
Yeah. And then if you wanted more, you have to claim disability. You're disabled for having kids. So you're like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't that how society keeps on going? But no, that's a disability because you had kids. Like, okay. Yeah, there's something really screwed up there. And you see other developed nations across Europe and Canada and everything like that. And they have it figured out. Like, they're doing like 6 months to a year, sometimes 2 years paid. And they have some of the happiest like rates amongst society there is, in places like Finland and Sweden. And over here, you start to see stuff compile up and people are starting wondering, well, why is this happening and why are these massacres happening? Who knows? Maybe a lot of these things pile up, maybe not. That's hard to put things towards. But you definitely have people who are stressed out, not having a place to put their kids, and then having kids and not knowing how they're going to be able to have them because they can't afford to have them. And oh, by the way, you don't have health insurance because your company wasn't paying for it. So I guess you're doing a birth in a bathtub. Because if you want, and that's just because you have to, because you can't afford to go to a hospital. I mean, all these things, these are all ridiculous decisions that we can change, and you can actually make it more affordable. And people need to know that and do something about it.
Yeah.
I'm obviously passionate about this.
Yeah, I am too. That's why I'm doing what I do. But it's really, you're right. It's the important thing is there's a human element to this. Clearly. Mm-hmm. And those human beings happen to work for our companies. And the folks at the Bend Chamber, our members, they come to us with these problems. Mm-hmm. And many of them with an open arm saying, God, just help. How do I deal with it? And that's why we're trying to tackle it. One of the other factors, though, is it's more of an economic factor, and it's hard to put that in the same sentence as, you know, the family suffering that goes on when you can't find health care and you can't find child care. But the economic impact is also there. And so the U.S. Chamber Foundation this year has selected the state of Oregon. We haven't this like, yay, announcement that they're going to choose the state of Oregon for a economic impact survey on quantifying the impacts of lack of child care on the state's economy.
Nice.
They did this in the state of Georgia. In Atlanta alone, it was a $1.6 billion impact annually.
Wow.
When people did not have a place to drop off their kids, it was the loss of the employment base. It was trying to find a temporary fix. It was, I don't have any solid place to put my kid. My kid just got sick and I got to leave work, and my sister's watching them, and everything else that you can think of that goes into taking care of a family while you're working. It's a serious economic thing as well. Yeah. And so it's kind of that 1-2 punch. It's the human beings that work for us, and it's also our economy and whether or not our businesses are able to thrive when there's such a big disruptor.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of business owners just need to figure out that they're not, these human beings are just that. They're alive and they're human beings, and they're not Excel sheets, and they're not as replaceable as you might think. And when you take care of them, it actually is more profitable. It's a little harder to see. It's a little further down. It's a feeling you get. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, things start really clicking up. I mean, if anybody's considering taking care of anything when it comes to childcare, healthcare, like, oh, I'm not that sure, talk to Katie and I, because we'll direct you towards, no, this will be something that will be not only something that is more profitable for you, but you're going to feel really damn good about doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to be said about that. money isn't the answer to what makes you happy or what makes you feel fulfilled. What does weigh more is knowing that you're taking care of the people that are working for you. So anyway, let's go into a quick message from our sponsor from Habit Hot Sauce. Habit Hot Sauce is a fun little thing.
You're not going to make me cry, are you?
No, I don't think so. But you can put on as much as you want. I'm going to be crazy because that's what I do.
All right.
So this is a fermented.
Who made this, bud?
I don't know. That might be, I mean, if you like hot sauce.
Supporting another business in Bend.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is our fun side hustle. You may have put a little too much on. I'm crazy, but you said you like hot sauce.
That's good.
So, yeah, it's fermented for 2 weeks, and it's got three kinds of peppers in it.
Woo!
Garlic, cardamom, and there's no vinegar in it. And it all the trendy 2019
has
sayings.
Lots of flavor.
Yeah, it's organic,
and
it's
I'm
probiotic.
Going to have another cracker.
Yeah,
Woo!
Have as many crackers as you want. It's probiotic, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, you laugh. I'm going to make you come over
and drink
it. I
saw how much you put on there. I was just like, and...
Good that you have some water, too.
Yeah, you have water, yeah.
Oh, good. I like it. It's good.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, so that was a message from our sponsor.
I'm going to chomp into the mic for a minute.
Yeah.
That was really good, bud.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Yeah, we'll be... Newport's going to have it. And so far, I've only talked to them. Bistro 28, Zydeco, Loft, they're all going to carry it because it's the same owner. Newport.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting. We need to get all our bottles, and I need to go and talk to a bunch of others. But it's been a fun journey so far of just no more Netflix. And not that I watched a lot to begin with. It's actually a lot less reading, which I'm kind of missing. But
really good.
You want more?
No, okay. I'm good. I'm just trying to think of what kind of foods I'd put that on. You know, it would be really good on omelets.
Oh yeah, I haven't had an omelet yet. I'm a big fan. My favorite thing so far has been brats, burgers, brats. Yeah. But brats, there's something like I just dump it on them. Pizza, popcorn. But I'm weird liking wet popcorn. My co-founder's just like, you're weird. I'm like, I know. What's been your favorite thing, Mitch?
Brats, burritos.
Remember
burritos,
when we put it in beer?
Oh yeah.
So we put
Bloody
it.
Mary's.
Yeah, yeah. Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking.
Habit Mary. Yeah, we did. We actually had
some
a lot
hatch
of fun
vodka.
On our camping trip, and this happened around like 11 at night around the fire. But one of my team members poured it in the beer, and we had Deschutes in the keg, and we all tried. It was like that was really good, and everybody was pouring in their beer. So I need to go talk to Gary and be like, "Hey, Gary." Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so getting more about you though, Katie, how do you, so you're the president, as I said in the intro, of the Bend Chamber and have been for
3 years.
3 years already. Geez, seems like yesterday.
Yeah.
Seems that the Bend Chamber has been making more and more of a name for itself. And when I come in and see your people, first of all, the same people are with you. So that says a lot. And they also smile when you're talking, and I can tell that they're behind you. So how do you lead?
How do you lead? I think I call myself a service leader. I can't just work anywhere. Mm-hmm. I got to feel like I'm doing something that's worthwhile. And, I don't micromanage. What I like is bringing folks on board and planting the flag, saying, is this the right flag? Planting it, because
uh-huh.
people often plant the wrong flags, and say, how do we get there together? And I like taking on things that are fulfilling, really hard to do.
What's fulfilling to you?
It means to me that it's making, this sounds so hokey, but it's making life better for people. It's making...
Why is that hokey?
Because it's just like, I want world peace, and... But it.
Well, Katie, I do want world peace.
I do want world peace. Okay, world peace.
World peace.
Kindness and acknowledge climate change, and we are good.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I see a place in there to support the businesses and the people who work for them as synonymous. And that's what I mean, is we make a place where we perpetuate the things that we value the most.
Mm. What do you guys value the most at the chamber?
There's a bunch of things. I think one of the top things about Bend, I've been coming here all my life, but I'm from Portland. And one of the things that really sticks out to me and was predominant when I first started was the level of sophistication and breadth of the business market here in Bend is just phenomenal. And it's based on a lot of collaboration. And I think that was born out of, oh crap, we don't have a lumber mill anymore. Oh crap, there was a great recession. We were just building stuff and now we don't anymore. And
yeah,
we were building a hobbit village
and now all of a sudden we can't build a hobbit village anymore. Yeah. True story.
Yeah, so we've picked some industries here that had their time, some more brief than others, but we've had to reinvent ourselves. And it's there's a core of businesses that had to survive all of that, and they banded together, and it's really unusual. And if you don't work at that collaboration, and this is a thing that we all share, and I'm going to help you, even if you're my competitor, because, you know, high water floats all boats. If you don't work at things like that, they go away. And so I feel it's the chamber's job, and one of the things I find most exciting with the Bend Next program that we have, which is the 501c3 arm of the chamber, is how do we perpetuate a culture that takes care of each other? And while we're doing that, we're surviving and thriving and growing and incredibly competitive. And so that's the kind of stuff that rings my bell. And I like to talk about things that are at the core important to that. And you know, the old chamber of we're going to help everybody market their business and we're going to exchange business cards, we do a lot of that. Sure. And we do a lot of introductions, but really it's the power of providing service on a collective level.
What do you think has been the thing you've been most proud of over the past 3 years?
I think it's refocusing what we do to work on things like growing the healthcare plan, looking at childcare, really trying to take a look at this housing issue and what can we bring to bear with our membership to try and fix this. Because talk about one of the worst problems that we have with workforce development and retention is nobody can freaking find a place to work, to live here.
It's very
true. And you have, there's you have to be intentional. There's a bit of compromise and blended funding and creativity that needs to go into making this town, Bend, a place that's a full community so everybody can live here. Intentional. If you leave it to its own devices, we become Vail. So there is an intervention there that's got to occur.
Yeah.
And I think the business sector plays a big role in that.
As it should. How do I help? That's the thing that I'm concerned on all these things.
Go build some houses, dude.
Go build some houses, yeah. No.
I think that
we have
there's a lot of levels on that you can help.
Well, no, let's just keep at that. How do I help as a business owner that's not into real estate development? Because that's something that I think about all the time. I'm like, how the hell are my team members going to afford to live here? There, I have a few live in Redmond already. Others want to live closer here, but it's just asking, okay, hi. They're building an apartment complex right there, but my guess is there'll be like $1,300 or $1,500 or $1,800 a month units. I don't know what they are, but it's just my guess based on the location.
So with cost is the biggest factor because it costs a heck of a lot to just to build anything anymore, the costs of it. So there has to be other funding streams that offset the costs. And that's what I'm talking about. So there are several things that you can do. The city is planning some more dense places in the city that are planned as urban development that go up. The more you go up, the lower the costs. The more dense, the lower the costs per person to live. Now, if you have a 6,000 square foot lot, you can build a duplex no matter where you are in RS zone, residential standard residential zone. 9,000 feet, you can do a triplex. That was a policy that we supported last year, the city council took
on. So that just passed?
Yes, last year. Now it's statewide. in the 2019 legislature. Speaker Kotek led a whole House Bill 2001 that makes this statewide now, a similar type of plan. Mm-hmm. So densification is one thing, and supporting it as a business person saying, I recognize that the culture in Bend hasn't been this. It is hard for some people to really get their heads wrapped around what does a denser Bend look like, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean it's dense everywhere. It means focusing that development in a condensed area served with some sort of multimodal service, yeah. be it transit, Uber, Lyft, skateboards, pick something that can get you around.
Well, if they think it's going to be like less dense if there's not affordable housing, people are still going to work here. They're just going to be coming in and creating more traffic. Mm-hmm. So you're just going to have a ton more traffic when you get people biking, skateboarding, public transit going yep. from different areas. But if you're talking about Lapine, Sisters, Redmond, Madras, Prineville, yeah. that's a huge commute. And by the way, now if you're a business leader or owner, your team is going to want more money to just offset their cost of their transportation.
Yeah.
So all these things cut into like how, at what point are they comfortable living? So
yeah.
I keep on hearing people being like, yeah, affordable housing is good, but not in my backyard. Why are they building that thing right here on the west side? I don't want that there. But yeah, you know, we need it. I've heard business owners, I won't say who, but I hear that all, I'm just like, well, yeah, you're saying that yeah. you want it, but not there.
Then and there's where? The rub. There's the rub. And I know there are folks that don't like it when I say this, but we just have to get over it. And we have to
think happening about anyway.
Where it's where this kind of, mm-hmm. of construction happens, so we can have other parts of Bend that we recognize. In 50 years, when you look here, you'll say, yeah, there's 50,000, 75,000 more people here, but it still feels like Bend. What is that that makes it still feel like Bend? One of the things that we did this year in collaboration with Hubble Communications, a company just opened its doors recently in Bend, they do PR and surveys. Mm-hmm. So we sponsored a survey. I've been curious. So people are anti-growth here. Really? So what does that actually mean? So what are the values behind people saying, I don't want it to grow anymore? So we asked.
I came from California. I liked how it was 3 years ago. Okay.
We asked. And we have a statistically valid survey. We cross-tabbed so that we had good representation from east side, west side, mm-hmm. how many years you lived here, what your socioeconomic and ethnic background was, all of that information so we could ask these questions. And what we found out was the people, most people, like 80%, 82% I think it was, said, yeah, we don't like growth. Don't like it. And then when we asked why, some of the top reasons were because of traffic. Mm-hmm. Can't get around like I used to get around. I don't feel like these people moving here are contributing to the society that I love. So if they give back, if I saw you, bud, you moved from the Bay, you're my neighbor now, mm-hmm. and I saw you volunteer for something that I feel strongly about, I'd say, hey, that bud's all right.
Sure.
I can live with that Californian next to me. He's yeah. a good guy. And if that person moves in and doesn't interact with you as a neighbor and is distant, that is the piece that they're most fearful of. Mm-hmm. It's not whether you come from California. It's not whether you... It is in part that you're creating more traffic, but what they want to see, and it flipped to something like 70-73% approval of growth. If that person who's moved from wherever was visibly engaged in the community, and the interesting part about that is we asked the flip question, that's awesome. So are you engaged in the community?
Oh, what did they say?
About 20% were.
Do you think they lied too?
I don't know. I don't know. But I've seen this pattern. We asked our young professionals the same thing. What's important to you? I really want to get engaged in the community. And we put on a summit. We're doing a summit this Saturday. It's going to be awesome.
I just plugged it on LinkedIn today.
Yeah. And we're trying to teach a class, or it's not really a class. I have a discussion on here are the ways you identify what passion is in yourself mm-hmm. and how you apply it to your community. The less than altruistic reason why we're doing that is because the more engaged you are in the community, the more you feel like staying, right? Mm-hmm. We want you to stay. And that's the class that we're, one of the classes that is lower population than the other sections that you can go to. I guess there's sessions during the day. So I kind of see this pattern. I really want people to be involved, but you got to get involved yourself. And that's the harder part because we're all busy.
Yeah, but you make time for it. you know, you make time to help your community out.
Yeah.
And you end up getting oxytocin from it. You end up doing things that are helping other people, and that's some of the best feelings you ever get. And what's better than helping this town that you want to keep the culture the way it is? One good point that I thought, and I want to come back to the YP Summit in a second, but just sticking on like the housing thing for a second, was when I had Sally Russell on the show a couple weeks ago. She was bringing up a fantastic point, which is the mayor of Bend, by the way. A fantastic point about the people that are living in this affordable housing, because a lot of people are just like, I don't want those kind of people living near me, like thinking they're gang members or something. Like,
right.
And she's like, they're our firefighters, our policemen, our teachers, our baristas. They're people that can't afford to live anywhere else, that they need our help.
And like, kids.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you start thinking about firefighters and policemen and teachers.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you don't want those people living next to you?
Yeah, that's the image. And I hear that a lot too. And I don't know too many people who have never lived in an apartment in their life. Did you live in an apartment?
I have.
Yeah.
A lot.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
I spent years living in an apartment before I got my first house.
I was a member of like 5 gangs. Because that's what happens when you're in an apartment. You join gangs.
Hot sauce gang.
Yeah, the hot sauce gang. I made sure I was a gang member on every floor, so I kept it cool of all of them. That's what it's like, right?
Right?
Right. Okay, cool.
No, that was the dorm, dude.
That was
you got
dorm,
that mixed
dude.
Up.
No, I was in no gangs. But yeah, no, it's a bunch of really nice people. It's the same thing. They just have a little less money, and who cares about that?
Yeah.
Do you think when you end up getting a lot more money, you go to this virtuous freaking nirvana? No, if anything, it's the opposite. You get a bunch of money, you end up turning into a bad person. is typically what ends up happening if you don't end up foreseeing like what's happening, the greed that's coming from the decisions you're making now and wanting more and more and more. A lot of people, that's like their downfalls, is when they start making a lot of money. But for some reason, our society has put it on this this echelon that you are of the greatest person since you have a bunch of money. But in fact, their souls, for the most part, are very dark. And a lot of them.
Wow, dude. I don't know if I can go there with you.
Well, I
know a lot of business people in this town that are pretty awesome. They probably make more money, way more money than me. But I'll tell you that you're bringing up a really good point.
I know some in this town that make more money than me and are
not.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could be true. But business people have a role to play here.
Not a lot in Bend, by the way. More in Chicago, where I'm from. Chicago, not LA, or the Bay Area. Chicago.
Well, that explains some things.
Yeah, but in Chicago, well, that's why we're a gang member when we're in an apartment complex.
Wow.
But anyway, that's kind of
a little bit more about you, dude.
Yeah, right. But no.
But business people have a role to play, because if they want to retain their folks and they want them to live here, that's why we have to support figuring out where that density goes and how to get it to be affordable and how to build creative housing. Some employers, larger employers, I've seen this in Lane County, specifically in the state, actually subsidize housing.
Hmm.
And there are a gazillion tools.
For their team members?
Yeah.
Okay.
And tech is coming into play, and financing models, where there are lots of companies, and I'm not endorsing anybody because you really got to read the fine print, but there are some folks who are long-term investors who are helping you with down payments now that take their interest based off the increased equity of your home over time.
Hmm.
So if Bud wants to buy a house and it's $1 million and you have enough to put a down payment on for 10%, but you could actually live in this house if you had 20% down to reduce your mortgage, this company could come in and say, here's the other 10%, so you're at 20 now. And you just owe us for this 10% we gave you based on the equity increase of your house over time. And here's the amount if you sell in 5 years, here's the amount in 10 or 20, or if you pay off your mortgage in 30, this is what you owe. And there are financing companies out there, because the paradigm of how we used to buy houses, because it's so unattainable for such a growing population in the U.S., not just Oregon, people are rethinking of what home ownership actually is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your car, right? Someday, maybe it'll be a service rather than a thing you own. I don't know. But the model for which folks are buying homes, because of the growing gap of the haves and have-nots and shrinking middle class. This is not a philosophical discussion. This is fact.
Sure.
Financiers have had to start to be really creative, and just humanity has to be creative. How do we find housing for these people who can't afford it? And how do we rethink the method by which they get there and what that housing looks like?
I like the idea of subsidizing housing for employees. I think that could be something that it could show some immediate returns on just being able to retain people and then having their happiness level very high. I like that idea. As far as supporting things in Bend, is there any other things that business owners can be doing? Any bills that might be coming up, like help getting votes going to a certain way or anything of that nature that you know of on the horizon?
There are some things on the horizon. So this last legislative session, there was a lot of added costs. I think it was approaching $4 billion more of costs to Oregon businesses and taxpayers. This coming year, the cap and trade debate is going to come up again, and it'll probably come up early in the session, so I've heard. So that's something to watch out for. I know the city of Bend is going through a transportation system plan right now. Mm-hmm. There's a list of projects coming out of that we as a community are going to make a decision on whether or not we want to finance with a bond. Could be this year, could be next year, next year or the year after. But that's something that we'll be taking a look at. And again, transportation and land use, housing, they're inextricably linked. So that
Absolutely.
Is a consideration that we're going to have to be making in the near future of whether or not to pass a transportation bond. At some point in the next 5 years or so, there'll probably be another school bond and some other infrastructure things that need to happen to support the growth we've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of urban renewal areas popping up. The Central District is one. We're just in the beginning phases of the Innovation District development. And that's a new district that co-locates a lot of different type of industries to mm-hmm. spur innovation and startups.
An Innovation District is like a bow tie right now that extends pretty much from our office, and it goes to the current Bend Tech Center. And then it scoops up the college, right?
That's what they're proposing.
That's
it doesn't
proposing.
Right now.
Okay.
That's what we're looking at expanding. It's got to include the university. Research university is essential to make an innovation district happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a real key component.
What happens to the businesses that are in the innovation district if it passes?
Well, this isn't about, this is something just that happens because people wanted to.
Happens.
We go to the city council. So what happens is there might be some incentives for innovative construction and mm-hmm. land use. It'll integrate smart city stuff like tech and different types of transportation options so you can get around. What's really essential is it is messy vitality. So you might be a sub-baccalaureate, you might be an entry-level person, or you might have a PhD. It's a place where all of these people find a spot. So mm-hmm. there has to be a blend of housing and gathering spaces and ways to get around that makes this synergy of ideas and folks from different industries able to come together, get around easy, and use tech to the best of their ability to create innovation, help the businesses that are already here think of new ways of doing things,
mm-hmm.
and startups just pop out of these things. And so where the boundaries will actually end up, I'm not exactly sure. It'll be much bigger than where we are right now with
mm-hmm.
the proclamation that was back in 2017.
Right.
But it's about binding a lot of different aspects of the business community and just humans who
mm-hmm.
live in this community, and condensing them in a space for innovation. And there are lots of examples across the country and across the world and in our state. Of Portland IQ District is one innovation quarter. Eugene Rain District is another one. There's a really cool one if you're curious. You look up in Toronto in Canada,
mm-hmm.
they have a place called Mars downtown. It's several blocks of all these buildings they've mushed together, and you get around in all these different ways and co-work spaces where
Is that the big thing, is it pushes for like co-work spaces in these innovation districts?
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering, like, how do you force innovation? It's kind of hard just be like, sit down and think of something.
So the notion is that innovation is districts blend the human aspect of it, of relationships, getting back to what we originally were talking about. Relationships do matter. Mm-hmm. Interaction matters with the technology
Actual
and invention.
Talking yeah. to each other matters. Yeah.
yeah.
Not being on a screen yeah. all the time.
There, I've heard countless examples of people got together at a coffee shop or went to a co-workspace and said, hey, what are you working on?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden somebody has invented a pair of running pants that gives biofeedback to X whatever it is that allows your doctor to give you a diagnosis on your knee type of thing.
I mean, I completely agree with you. I just didn't know what it was all about, so I appreciate you giving that that good, thorough explanation of it, and I am fully for it. We have one of our four core values is innovation here, and we don't, I mean, I let people work from home when they have like family emergencies or things of that nature happening, but we don't hire remote work. Everything is happening here. As you walk through and you saw like the big open desk areas.
Yeah.
And because of that, I mean, just the latest innovation was a team working together by talking to each other and figuring out how to make a bot through Messenger completely take in forms on people getting subsidized phones from the government and confirming that they are a person with an ID, that they do get benefits, and have it going into the person's CRM and firing out, the bot fires up something from the sign, and then all of a sudden, boom, it chips on the phone. And they built that all internally here for a publicly traded company. And I was just like, that is epic that you guys built that here. And I was in the middle of it all the time, just watching like all these ideas fly, and then we have to do this to make this work. And then all of a sudden it breaks and this, and they were all coming together to figure it out. There's constant talk back and forth. So that collaboration of just having humans next to each other, yes, it pushes, tech is good for innovation, but thinking about tech next to each other, I think is how you really take it to the next step. And all this remote working, as it's getting more and more popular, I think it might stifle innovation a little bit. So I'm for that concept of these districts. Make sure we're in it, all right? Get them as well in there.
You're in it. And yes, you are physically in it.
Yeah.
And secondly, the beauty of Innovation District is if you have a headquarters or an office, if you even do, it doesn't necessarily have to, have to be within the borders of the Innovation District, because the co-work space and the programming and the people is what knits it. So if you don't physically have a space there, it's probably better if you do, but even if you don't, you participate anyway, because you come to this place because the programming, there's a speaker on blah, 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 or a tutorial on a new tech product or whatever it happens to be. And you sit down across a coffee table from somebody who's working on something you never thought would have anything to do with your product. But these things happen and new stuff spurs up, or it gives you a new idea or a new application. And so the beauty of it is having enough co-work space so folks can be there, even if they don't have an office space or a huge physical footprint within the Innovation District.
So I wanted to shift back to YP really quick, the YP Summit. The time that we end up airing and pushing this out, it will end up happening on September 7th. But why are you doing it, and why do you do a lot of events like this? So this one specifically, YP stands for Young Professionals. Why even put up with throwing an event? I know throwing an event is hard. I loathe it quite a bit, but you guys do it consistently.
I'm not a huge fan of events either. Yet I am the CEO of a Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
Doing
more
I
than throwing events, as we, this is the first time we're talking about events, like all the stuff you're doing, by the way. So it's not just events, but events is something.
Right.
So we should talk about it.
Embrace the events. So when I think about events, they have to, first of all, this town has so many things to do. You can be five places every night if you really wanted to be. There's always something
going
on. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So amazing and tiring. So If we're gonna put, yeah,
it was just like, oh, it's a festival.
Oh my god, I almost killed myself the first year here, trying to meet everybody and figure this the lay of the land. So if you're gonna do an event, it's got to be either provide some information you couldn't get somewhere else, mm-hmm. or have just a kick butt quality networking collaborative atmosphere, or I got to get something that makes me better at my job, mm-hmm. or as a person feeds me in some way. And so that's what we focus on. So specifically the Young Professionals Summit, YP Summit, this is the second year we've done it. We'll probably have 200, 250 people there. I don't know yet. We haven't closed registration. And it is designed from two perspectives. One is from an employer. And again, going back to how do you retain really mm-hmm. great people? And a lot of employers in town are, like you, are sending a bunch of their people to this for personal development and professional development, mm-hmm. because they're inextricably linked.
They're humans, right?
You're humans. Mm-hmm. And then from your employee standpoint, it's, man, I really want to move up and I really want to be involved and I really want to develop my network. And as you do that over time in your career, I look back in my career path and I know people in places that I would never have access to had I not networked and built relationships throughout my career.
Yeah, it's kind of like be nice to that person because you don't know if they'll be the CEO of Nike one day.
Yeah,
go up and say hello and get to know people.
They might become your friend. They might become somebody who goes to an innovation district and comes up with that mm-hmm. idea at some point, and you know them, that makes your product better. They might be the governor of your state.
Yeah,
they might be someone who helps you financially or in some way with your business. You never know, and they are important. Relationships matter.
It's the game.
Yep.
That's the game. It's the entire game is basically, can you network and have good relationships and be genuinely like just nice to people? Because if you are, then you're going to be able to lean on those things to help you. You'll be able to help them and people remember that kind of stuff. And in a non-selfish way, it all comes back to you. So when you were talking to me about the YP Summit, I think I thought about it for a quarter of a second. Like, yeah, I don't know, we'll send all the people that want to go.
Yep.
So there's eight that can make it. It's on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So if it was, we would have sent more, but I'm not going to force them like, oh, you have to give up your Saturday. No, if they want to go, are you going, Mitch? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Mitch is going as well.
I love it.
And
you got to come to my session.
Yeah. I think I signed up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's, I had one colleague who I won't mention who said to me like, aren't you worried about like your people going and getting swooped up by other people? Yeah. And then I was just like, no, I'm not. I'm like, I'm more worried about them not going and not learning and not developing. I've made a very great culture that they make mostly made. I just kind of like cultivate. They're the ones that breathe life into it. And it's just super, super fun to be here and work here because of that culture. And if they want to leave and go on to do something else, then I'm actually going to help them do that. And I have, and I will be a reference to them when they go on to do other things, because we're all mostly like millennials over here. And who am I to say, no, you have to stay here? And this, no, I can't do that even if I wanted to. And if I wanted to, that'd be pretty screwed up. So knowing that the game is the short side, and it's for it for me, is what do you guys learn that helps you professionally? But then networking being the game. I know Mitch is, you're going to go and you're going to talk to people. He's going to have his business cards and he's going to meet some people. And maybe in a year and a half, one of the persons that you met ends up going a little higher up in Hydro Flask. And they're like, hey, we're looking for a new marketing thing, Mitch. And I was wondering if now that you're the head of marketing at Mazama, maybe we can. And that wouldn't have happened if you weren't there and got to meet Richard at Hydro Flask or met somebody at the shoot. So there's that short sighted thing. But then in the long term as well, it's just like the professional development, the networking, all that stuff. It's a risk of losing somebody, sure. But, you know, if they want to go, then they're going to go.
Yeah, that's not part of the program. And
no,
that's,
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying.
No matter what.
Yeah.
But it's about three things. It's about building your clan, your peers, professional peers.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, how do I develop my leadership and proficiency in being a person who is a career path person, that I have these things I want to achieve. Here's some tools that are going to help me get there. That isn't about this new software thing that I'm doing. It's about, how do I talk to my boss more effectively? It's, how do I take a leadership role? What does that actually look like? What's the difference between a mentor and an ally and a peer? I don't know. How do you leverage that? And the final thing is, So you say you're passionate about this community and you want to get involved, and we're going to show you some people that are here doing that. And so freaking go volunteer. Yeah. And get involved in, and how do you match it with what you think you're passionate about? So it's that fully rounded person as a professional. This isn't where you go for parties and stuff, although that we do have a great after party. Mm-hmm. Mosley Waters is going to be performing. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is.
But it's about growing as a person and as a professional person specifically. So I'm really stoked about it. We did it last year. People loved it. It was time well spent.
Good.
And I wish that was around when I was a young professional. By the way, my session is what I wish I would have known when I was a young professional. Mm-hmm. It's me and Scott Allen from Hydro Flask. Monica.
You know them both.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Monica used to work for Bill and Melinda Gates. She was one of the first female engineers for Microsoft. She's on the panel.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, Sally Russell, our fabulous mayor. And
I know her too.
Mitch is going to know everyone there.
Yeah, and Paul. And there. So this panel is a bunch of people. And, you know, I started by picking strawberries when I was a kid, back when child labor was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked at McDonald's. And I was asking everybody else, so guess what Scott Allen's first job was?
What?
Pool boy. He cleaned pools in Arizona. We all start somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, he went a route, I went a route. Everybody chooses a path, and no path is right or wrong. How do you live with the path you took?
Mm-hmm.
And when you reflect back on it. And anyway, so I'm stoked about my session. I'm stoked about the whole day. It's just going to be really rich with stuff. There's lots of time to chat and to build your clan, too.
What's a little preview on what you wish you knew?
I would have sought a little more input from those above me on some of my career path decisions. I don't regret any of them, but there's this thing, being a woman and getting my chops in the 80s, right? As starting out in the late 80s in a profession, it was just a different world, and you just didn't talk to your folks above you,
mm-hmm.
like up here. And I think had I had a little more confidence back then, there would have been a series of things that I would have asked for, because I think it was readily available and I didn't ask.
That is fantastic advice. There's so many people that are afraid of just asking, and what's the worst thing that's going to happen?
Yeah.
I said no.
Yeah.
I think people have this doom and gloom sort of thinking, like, don't send your people there because then they'll all get sniped. Right. I'm like, what? No. That's
not. So at the chamber, I've got a few millennials that work for me. And when they come on board, I say, yay, I'm so glad you're here. However long you choose to stay here, we're honored to have you here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be your best ally in finding where you're going to go next. Just lay it out there. I don't want you here for 20 years. I want you here until you learn all you need to learn, you make this a better place, and you move on. And then you're going to ask me for help, because I'm going to find your next step or advocate for you in some way. And
that's pretty awesome.
That's what I believe. And that's what the YP Summit does, is build that whole person and recognize that we're all evolving leaders.
I'm gonna steal that line from you. I like that.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what I end up doing anyway. I might as well just say it in the beginning.
That's right. Go for it.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Well, let's end on one kind of plug, but at the same time kind of not, because I think businesses should hear this, but outside of the stuff that we've gone through, which is quite a bit, if I'm a business owner, or an influencer of a business owner, and Ben, why should my business join the chamber?
I think because, again, to help support solving some of these problems that are ubiquitous. Every business in this community has trouble finding housing for their people. Childcare, wants to develop their workforce. It's investing in your own business, mm-hmm. when you invest in the chamber. You get the added benefit of a great network of folks that you can build relationships with. There are a lot of businesses here in Bend that don't do business in Bend, so that doesn't work for them.
Mm-hmm.
But those people have folks that work for them.
Yeah.
And if you want to develop
your
workforce.
We're becoming more and more one of those too.
Yep.
Like our portfolio is like less than 7%, but all the things that you're talking about is stuff that I really care about. You know, healthcare,
right.
Childcare, all
that
stuff.
Because you live here and your people live here. Mm-hmm. And probably 70% of what we do is directly related to that. The rest is advocacy and networking and information and things that make, even if you don't do business here, you're more informed. Mm-hmm. But it's to be part of the collective, and it's the businesses here that care about what we look like in the future, but also how do we thrive and survive today? And that usually has to do with the folks who work for us. So that's what we're all about. And it's not about going to parties necessarily anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's a very different thing.
Yeah,
heck yeah.
Yeah.
You know how much crap I would take if we didn't?
Yeah.
People actually love getting together.
Yeah, of course.
People like each other in this town. It's great to get together and knock it around. And
yeah.
So we're just much more robust and meaningful from several angles. And
you also give a lot of things that some businesses really thrive for, and that is just straight up recognition.
Yeah.
Giving people, women in this town that are doing well, recognition from their Women Awards,
yep.
the Sage Business Awards, all the different things you do. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it makes that culture's day that you guys end up putting that together and doing that for them.
Yeah.
And you don't have to live in Bend to have your day made. I mean, no, you do, but you don't have to have your clients in Bend for that.
Right.
So you guys, like, there's a lot to be said on that. And when it comes to how networked you guys are in the community for any problems that you might have, like you were saying in the beginning of the podcast, I have people that come to me with, you know, whatever. You are such a good person, so is your team, that if I came with something completely off the wall, I know I could come to you guys and be like, hey, this is the problem I'm having, and you would actually put some effort into pointing me in the right direction on that. And I have no doubt about that, and I might lean on it one day soon. So I think it's a great thing to be a member of, and I love what you guys are doing with it.
Well, thanks, bud.
Right. Thank
it's
you.
Good work.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it, Katie.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, it was great.